Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day that we come here to your house of worship, Father, and as we sing praises to you, Father, Lord, that you are so, so good, Father, and Lord, that revive us, Father, Lord, I pray that, Lord, and Father, we're the branch and you're the vine. Help us to abide in you, Lord. Father, I do lift up Chad to you, Father, as he stands before us. Father, just speak through him, Father. Lord, open our ears and our hearts, Father, and our eyes to see, Father, what you have in store for us, Father, that as we leave here, Father, that we are filled, Father, and Lord, that as Chad always ends, go, Father, and to the community and spread the word and the good word. So, Father, I just thank you for this time, Father, and we just lift this to you and ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys doing okay today? All right. If you would grab your Bible, turn with me to 1 Corinthians. We are chapter 2 today. Over the past couple of weeks, as we have been introduced to the letter to the church at Corinth, Paul had started this church or planted this church. It was on his second missionary journey. Looking at dates that this was planted, this was probably AD 50, AD 51. So Jesus was crucified in AD 30, between AD 30, AD 33. And so as you can imagine, this is only about 20 years after that. And so Paul tells us that even in talking about the resurrection later on in chapter 15, he said, you know, Jesus appeared to over 500 people, many of which are still alive. You can go and ask them. So he's pointing to the fact that there were many witnesses about Jesus. This letter is written while he is on his third missionary journey, and it is estimated that it is written around AD 54, AD 55, which means that he was in Corinth for about a year and a half in planting the church, and so now he has been away from it now for a few years, and he has heard of what is going on. So he's writing this letter really in the way of correction. He has heard some of the things that they've allowed to come in, some of the division that has been there, and he is already, as we've looked at it in the last couple of weeks, he is contrasting wisdom of man versus the wisdom of God. And so ultimately what he is saying, and he says it the beginning part of chapter 3, which we're not there yet, but he ultimately is pretty much saying that they are immature and that they're being immature, and he's having to even speak to them as though they are immature because they are acting in a very human-like way. And this is important for us to understand even as we dive in, because what he is ultimately contrasting or telling us is that if we have surrendered our lives to Christ, we now have been born again or born of the Spirit. So therefore, we have the mind of Jesus. And in having the mind of Jesus, we now should live as though or live with that perspective. That we should live in such a way to where we are walking with the Spirit and being or seeing things even now from a new perspective, one of the Spirit. And so, I believe that it is important for us to also identify where we are at in the same way. Do I handle things from a spiritual perspective or one that is very much more self-centered or one that is of more human? In John chapter 3, Jesus is talking to a man. His name is Nicodemus. He's asking these questions, and Jesus says, you must be born again. Someone who is born of the flesh is flesh, but someone who is born of the Spirit now is spirit. And so he is pointing to the fact that you and I, if we truly have surrendered our life to the Lord, we've been born of the Spirit. And so what does that mean? Well, Paul is going to give us some instruction today, and the way that he does that is he is going to help us to understand that the things of God are spiritually discerned. In other words, we must or we depend upon the Spirit to reveal these things. Are you tracking with me? All right. So There is a wisdom from God, spiritual, and then there is a wisdom of man, which is human. Now, human wisdom or wisdom of this world tries to understand the things of God, but it falls short. And really, it's just foolishness. But the wisdom of God, which is, it's interesting because the man or the wisdom of man many times will look at it as though it's foolishness, actually is spiritually discerned, which is a wisdom from on high. It's eternal. It gives purpose. It gives life. It helps us to overcome. It's powerful. And these are all things that he has been contrasting in chapter 1. And so today as we dive in, he's ultimately going to talk about, as he did a little bit before at the end of chapter 1, and he's going to help us to understand that there is a wisdom of God, and it is powerful, and it is life-changing. And so what we have used, the term used for that is the word good news. It's the word the gospel. So the gospel, the good news, is life-giving. And so if you are able to, if you don't mind, if you would stand with me as we read chapter 2. We'll read the full chapter just in honor of God's word. Starting in verse 1. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, I didn't involve myself in the philosophies of the time or even some of the other men were talking about. Instead, I chose to do one thing, and that is to preach Jesus so that there would be no boastfulness or you wouldn't have faith in the wisdom of man, but it would come from God. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is a wisdom, it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Verse 14, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Father, as we bow before you, we have just read that the things of you, the things of this word, the things that have meaning and power are dependent upon you. Lord, we can only understand what this word says or what the message of the gospel is when you reveal it, when you speak, when you move in power. Lord, there's a mystery there. But yet, Father, we need you. And so today, as I stand, I want to confess my dependence upon you. I know that, Lord, that there is nothing that I can do to change someone's life. There's no words that I can say. There's no power that I have in and of myself. And so I need you. So God, right now, we cry out to the God who has all power, all authority. Would you speak to us? Would you move in power? Would you send your Spirit amongst us? Would you do something today, God, that is first fruits of a mighty movement of people who would desire nothing but to be led by you and empowered by you, and walk with you. That we would seek to know nothing, no wisdom of this world. We would know nothing except the power of your Spirit. And so, God, move in power today. God, I pray that you would use us. Speak to us. Here we are. We need you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. As Paul starts off this second, or this passage, this part of the letter, he says that he did not come proclaiming with lofty speech or wisdom, but instead he spoke plainly. What was he proclaiming? He's proclaiming Jesus and why he came. And so today, as we start off, I want to share with you what Paul was proclaiming, the gospel, the good news. I choose to share it in a way that's easy to remember. It's easy for me to remember. But my prayer is today that maybe your eyes would be open to see it. But more than that, that the power to be saved is through the gospel. So the good news, as it's proclaimed, is powerful. And I've got to travel all over. I've got to walk alongside of people and share in the gospel. I've got to share it and proclaim it myself. And one of the amazing things is that sometimes I will have fellow believers who would say, you know, that's just not my thing. I'm not the one to stand and speak. You're the preacher. You get up and speak. But I want to tell you, and I want you to hear it, and I want you not only hear it, but to realize this is your calling. If you believe in Jesus, you have a responsibility to share and to proclaim. And I want to help you and give you great confidence. Like, the power is not in your ability. It's not in your giftedness. It's not even in what you can or can't do. The power, as revealed by Paul here, is found in the Holy Spirit to bring about spiritual understanding. Are you tracking with me? So this should free us. Like, I don't have to worry that I do it and do it a certain way. I can share and understand. Now, you need to know it, right? You can't share something you don't know. But I want to tell you, your life should be an example of what you're sharing. Like, here I was. I was separated from God, but yet, when I believed, he transformed me. And I've been on this road, and he keeps showing me things, and I become more like him. In my discipleship group, I have a joy to walk with a couple of guys who are here this morning. And man, new believers, and what's so exciting is the just watching God do all of that. Seeing them being excited to proclaim, seeing them sharing stories of how he's changing, or the way they see people, or the way he's changing in them. And man, it's so cool. But here's the gospel. Are you ready? There is one God. Okay, it's easy. I remember four parts of it. There's one God. He is good. He is holy. We're just saying, good. You are good. You are good. You know, you think about that, and you think about some of the people in this room and some of the hard things you've gone through in life, and yet you can still cry out, God, you are good, right? Think of that. Loss, death, hurt, pain. Man, you are good, and he is good. Amen? He is so good. He is holy. But there's one problem, too, a second part of it. There's one problem. We have all sinned, and we are not good. Amen? I mean, you can look at it, you can poke the person next to you on that. Like, we are not good. And we've all sinned. And the wages of our sin is death. Sorry for the typo there. The wages of our sin is death. And so we deserve death. So here's where we are. There's a holy God. One day we're going to stand before him. We are guilty. We are not good. Everyone understand? There's a problem. Now, here's what God did because of his love for us, is there's hope. Okay, so there's hope. There's hope, and what he did is God came to us, and he died in our place. He paid the price on the cross. So there's hope. The hope is not found in your ability to be good. The hope is not found that you do enough good or that you are kind to enough people. The hope is in Jesus. That's it. No one else. I think it's important that we understand that and even who Jesus is. So if you would, turn with me to John chapter 1. I love how John lays this out. And my prayer is that this excites you because it is so good. Think about this. I phrased this the way that I did. God came to us. God didn't expect us to come to him, but he came to us right where we're at in the midst of our sin. Listen to how John puts this. It's important to, I'm going to move this closer so I can, all right. I'm excited if you don't understand. All right, here we go. In the beginning was the Word. Now, what is he talking about here? He uses this all over, the Word, and then he says he. So he's talking about the Word as a person. Well, if you would, in John, go down to verse 14. It says, the Word became flesh. So now we're talking about a he, but he became flesh. And so then he goes even further. He dwelt among us in verse 16, and he says, for from his fullness we have received grace upon grace. For the law was given to Moses. He says, grace and truth came through who? Who did it come through? Jesus Christ. So, here as he's talking about, going back to verse 1, as he's talking about that the Word, every time that he talks about the Word, he's talking about Jesus. So, in the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God, and Jesus what? Was God. Isn't that interesting? And I think that sometimes we live in a world and they don't fully understand this. When, even when Jesus came, this is why they crucified him, was because of blasphemy, right? They said, no, you claimed equal with God. Yes, yeah, because he was. He was God in the flesh. God came to us. He was in the beginning with God. Continue on. Verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is talking about John the Baptist. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, talking about the Jews, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. Those who would believe in Jesus would be reborn, spiritual birth, born of God. And here's what he said, and the Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him, cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me, ranks before me because he was before me. Verse 16, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. Grace is, we didn't deserve it. We have received grace. Nothing we can boast in, right? It's not of our own doing. It's of the work of Jesus. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Jesus, he has made God known. We are in this place. There's a problem, but God came to us. Man, that's beautiful to think about. That Jesus, nothing was created that was created. It was all created through him and by him. He was with God. He was God. All things were made through him, and in him was life, eternal life. The world was made through him, but the world did not know him. And the world still doesn't know him. And so when the gospel is proclaimed many times, it is seen as foolishness because they don't comprehend. And they look at our lives many times and say, why would you go to a place like that? Why would you open such an ancient book? Why would you give money to anything? They look at it all as foolishness. And we stand here today with the power of the gospel that changes lives. And so in the midst of this world that does not know God, what they need are proclaimers of good news, because it is the power of God unto salvation. So Paul, back to 1 Corinthians, he tells us, he says, I've come to you. Now remember, he's writing this because there are divisions within the church. He's instructing them, and even now, he's letting them know that they've allowed these divisions to come because of their immaturity. And he says that he desires for them and us to be mature, and how do we do that? It's by walking with the Spirit. So let's keep going. Going back to the gospel, we have, there's one God, right? There's one problem. We're sinners. We're separated from this holy God. There's one hope. God came to us, sent Jesus to die upon the cross to pay the price. And now there's a response. There's a decision. And then that response is to be done in faith in Jesus. And when that response happens, it is us proclaiming, I believe that Jesus came. I believe that he is faithful. I believe that he is worthy of my whole life, that I would live for him and with him, that I trust that his plan is better than mine. Now, we stand upon the gospel because it's the power. But what does that mean for us as we continue to live life? And so for most of us in this room, we've already trusted in the gospel. But there's still, every time should be beauty in it, right? I don't know about you. I preach the gospel every week. You're like, man, he does. But it is beauty in it, because we should always be reminded that I was separated, but man, there was love shown to me. He came to me. Second thing that I want to see is godly wisdom is revealed by God. We see this starting in verse 6. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it's not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Right? They didn't understand it. Otherwise, they would not have crucified God in the flesh. But because they didn't, they did. And it's because this is revealed by God. It is something that God helps us to see. And I already mentioned there's a mystery involved in that. One of the greatest pleasures that I get to be a part of is hearing testimonies of how people come to know the Lord. And it's always, it's so exciting, because there's usually multiple things involved. God is at work. Sometimes life situation brings them to this point where they're ready to look toward God. Other times, it's just a moment in time. The gospel shared, and they're just like, everything in them is like, yes, I need to do this. Whatever the case is, there's usually God is at work, situations, people that he brings along the path. Sometimes it's hard storms of life that whatever the case is, they're like, I realize what's going on in my life isn't working. But God meets us right in the climactic moment of all of that, right in this moment where there's this divine encounter. It could be a friend, a neighbor, a fellow believer that comes alongside us. It could be a church service, something like this. Whatever the case is, man, as you step back, you can see God's hand in all of it. And man, I love it. It's so amazing to see. And none of them are the same. It's crazy. None of your story is the same. It's unique, but yet it's powerful. And man, be quick to share it. The power and the work of the Spirit is always at work. As he continues on in verse 10, listen to what he says. He says, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of that person? which is in him. So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught in human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The truth of this is the Spirit reveals the spiritual. And so as you open God's Word, as you come to church, as you spend time, as you make decisions in life, the goal should be, as followers of Jesus, is just what we've sang here this morning, that we abide with him, that we walk with him, that we trust him. When a decision has to be made on temptation or sin or struggles or pain or a storm of life, it is, God, I come before you. What do you want me to do now? What is my next step? Will I have a job opportunity? Should I take that? God, show me. Give me wisdom. Bring people around me to help me to know that. It is a trusting in and walking with God. It is a coworker who's dealing through a struggle of life. Lord, how do I encourage them? Give me that wisdom right now. I'm willing. Here I am. It is, Holy Spirit, my life is yours. Lead me. Guide me. He said, but we have the mind of Christ. Why? Because we've been reborn. Jesus says in John 14, 15, 16, even on into 17, as he's in the garden praying, in all of that, it's like, man, go back. I love it. We've gone to it a couple different times, but Jesus is saying, it's better that I go, because when I go, the Spirit will come. And then he says things. It's really interesting. He says, if you love me, then the love of my Father is with you. And he says, and me and my Father, we will manifest ourselves too. So first he says the Spirit's going to come. Then he says that me and my Father is going to come. So who came? Yes, right? They came. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is in us and with us. This is the whole point. It is better. If you obey me, he says, I will send my Spirit. I will, the Comforter, the Counselor will come. Then in the next breath, he says that the Father and I, we're going to make our home in you and with you. I'll manifest myself to you. This is the beauty. Somewhere along the line, it's only because of the relationships that we've had. We've tried to segment God. God the Father, he's the creator. He's the big one up there. God Jesus, then, you know, Jesus came. He's the only one walked on the earth. And then the Spirit. And it's almost as if we think that they only come on. No, I want you to know God is here. God is at work. And God, as you've been made alive spiritually, it is God who will lead us, God who will direct us, God who will give us strength. And listen, in times when you feel weak, it is in those moments we are called to rely upon the Spirit of God, who will give us boldness, courage to proclaim. Some of us just think, no, that's not my giftedness. Yes, there is a gift of evangelism, but I want to tell you, as you go through life with people, you can love. It's the Holy Spirit who will love through you. As you go through life and you share about how he's changed you, it is that Holy Spirit that gives you the boldness and courage to do that. And all in the midst of all that at work is God speaking and leading and guiding and directing and calling people to himself. God is at work. Some of you are here, came here this morning by whatever circumstance it is. I want to tell you, you can step back and you can see God at work in your life, because you would have never thought that you're sitting where you're sitting. Man, testimony after testimony in this room. People hurting, people lost in the midst of all sorts of filth of this world, and yet God has transformed it. Man, what a powerful God he is. The Spirit is at working. And so we must see the problem of mixing human wisdom in the midst of the wisdom of God. And this is what they were doing within the church. They were saying, I follow this guy, and I follow this guy, and I'm of this. And Paul is saying, no, it is Jesus and Jesus alone who died upon the cross. Your identity is found in him. We are not to be divided. We are not to have, well, I believe this way, and you believe that way, and therefore let us split off and go. He's saying, listen, we are to come together under Jesus, fulfill the mission that he has given us, and we're to encourage one another and stand by one another. Be Be unified. Be unified in the gospel. Be unified in the work of the Spirit. And so, what does this mean for our life? So many times if we're not careful, we have set up a system that will allow people to be infant Christians all throughout life. Chapter 3, starting in verse 1, he says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not ready." These are people within the church, been in the church for years. I'm saying that it's possible, and I don't think we've done it intentionally. I think it's happened along the way, this gentle slide and drift, but we've allowed it. We've allowed there to be a structure where you can come and be an infant Christian and continue to come to church and sit there and listen and never take the truths of God's word and apply them to your life. Here he's saying, you have the mind of Christ. Don't continue in the infancy. Don't let divisions come. Don't let these side things distract. Don't let the gospel be diluted, but instead stand strong in who you are. Trust in the Spirit. He's going to lead you to do hard things. Did you know you're called to do hard things? If I'm the first to tell you this, I want to look you in the eye. Try to catch all your eyes real quick. No. You are called to do hard things. It's going to require faith. Beyond coming and sitting, listening, being a good person, it's going to require faith. And the faith, as we go and proclaim, as we share, as we impact, as we sacrifice, as we give, as we open our homes, as we send our kids to the ends of the earth, as we be willing to do and follow the Spirit with whatever he leads us to do, he's going to lead you to do hard things. You see, in America, I think we've got to be careful because we lift up comforts and securities, which I'm just telling you is not a biblical Christianity. And so, for some, here's the application for all of us as followers of Christ. Are you thinking with a spiritual mind or still with a human mind? When life happens, where do you run? Is it to how I think, how I feel, how this is going to impact, or is it Jesus, I want to honor and glorify you through your Spirit lead me. What do I do next? This horrible thing has happened in life. Now what? How can I bring you glory even in the midst of this? God, you have brought loss and grief, but you are still on the throne and you are good. And so God, what do you want me to do? You see, when we have a spiritual mind, then we begin to look at things different. Then we want to live truth and know truth, have it upon our heart. We want to make sure that we are dependent upon God and we are following him and standing upon him as we sang already today. We want to make sure that as we lift up God above all things, that we love him with all of our heart, mind, soul, strength, knowing that he's going to lead us to love others, people who are hard to love. And in doing that, we will grab hold of the mission of making disciples of all nations. Why? Because we prioritize the kingdom of God over our own kingdom. And so, today, church, the application of the message of what Paul is pointing us to, let us not dilute the power of the gospel. Let us not be distracted by things that keep us from the mission that he has given us. And so today, if you're here and maybe you've not yet trusted Christ, the call is, will you believe in Jesus? Will you be born again? Will you trust in him? According to the message today, that is a work of the Spirit in your life. And when God speaks to us, we know. And so today, if you're here and you're like, yeah, God has spoken to me, I know I need him. I'm not going to manipulate. You'll know. And my challenge to you is to call to him by faith and believe in him. Surrender your life. Said, I will live whatever life you've called me to live. I will make the decision. I'll do hard things. I'll, by faith, trust you. But if here you're already a believer, you've already trusted in him, you've been changed, made new, then the call is for you and I to have confidence in the power of the gospel. We're to be proclaimers, not listeners, not studiers, proclaimers. It's the power unto salvation. Your family, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, to the ends of the earth. Make him known. Share it. Proclaim it. Abide in Jesus. Walk with the Spirit. Trust him. Follow him. Believe in the power of the gospel. Believe that you have the mind of Christ and that he will direct you and guide you as you abide in him. So today, as the Spirit would lead you, I believe that some of us just have to acknowledge where we are really at right now. I've been made new, but I've not been following the Spirit and led by the Spirit. I thought I was, but you know what? I don't know that I've ever done that. I think it's okay to ask hard questions of ourselves. Maybe some of us here who you know you're a believer. I've trusted in him. I know him. But for whatever reason, maybe you've been distracted. Maybe like the church at Corinth, you've allowed things to come in. And it's just, man, it's distracted you from the calling God has given you. Today you would repent and say, Jesus, I need you. Help me to abide. Help me to follow. Help me to obey. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And even as Paul has directed us, we know that any response, any work that is done in the heart is done by you. And so, God, we pray today that you would help us to trust you, to hear you. I pray that you would open eyes and hearts right now, that there would be a response. I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ, that we would take serious the calling, take serious the belief that we have the mind of Christ. I pray that we would not allow the gospel to be diluted. We would not be distracted from the mission that you have given us. But instead, Lord, that we would see people the way that you do. And so, God, we need you. We depend upon you. We know that apart from you, we can do nothing. And so, God, I pray that you would wake us up. Open our eyes. Help us to see. And so, God, move in this time. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.